Hello there, and good evening, good morning, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is the third edition of AzureConf, and I'm glad to be here again. I will be your host for the next hour or so, talking to you about how to protect your assets in Azure or with Azure. As you've seen already a couple of good presentations this morning, I hope you're still staying with us, and let me guide you through this one. Well, first of all, let me talk a little bit about myself, because of course you want to know who I am. I'm Mike Martin. I'm from Belgium. I work for a company called Crosspoint Solutions, where I do some architecting and some Azure for that company. I'm an Azure MVP, meet member and insider. If you want to reach out to me, you want to have questions after the show, or just want to talk to me about Azure or all things related, you can easily reach out to me at Twitter. That's at TechMike2Cakes and Mike.Martin@CSPS for the normal mail, if you want to do that. So that's pretty awesome. So if you have questions during my talk, just use the hashtag AzureConf on Twitter. Also on Channel 9, there will be an opening for questions. So please feel free to drop in a line if you're open to that, and I will be happy if I get the time to answer your questions at all. So maybe it's a good thing to introduce what this talk is really about. So first of all, it's not a talk on what you need to back up. It's rather on how to use Azure as a full backup scenario, using either on-premise devices or assets, and doing asset backups from within Azure. So you get a lot of tools in Azure that are coming out of the box or by third parties that allow you to help you with your Azure asset management. Yeah. So because most of the time we have an environment, we have this thing set up, and you basically want to make sure that you keep your users and your environments happy, and for that you need disaster recovery. First part in disaster recovery is just being about backing up all your stuff, right? So on-premises is very important there also, because there's some of the products that Microsoft has a direct connection with Azure when it comes down to backing up. So I'm going to do a little bit of demoing on that one too. Of course, that immediately enables hybrid scenarios, making sure that you get all those bits correctly too. And of course, if we talk about backup, there's one big player which is actually the basis for most of the services in Azure. It's the storage layer, right? So you get a lot of different pieces in the storage layer. And most of the times we're just talking about blob storage, where you just back up your files or your virtual machines or whatever you want to do there. So really, really cool. Okay. So if we talk about Azure, we know that it's something that they introduced a long time ago. The cloud OS paradigm and idea. Hey, we want to make sure that we connect to everything to each other. We're going to shift gradually to the cloud. In the future, most of the people do so, whether it's by a means of just using some websites in Azure, or by doing them as offloading or generating front-end machinery, or just using them as test environments. But eventually we will go to the cloud from an enterprise perspective. So, and that integration really makes it important that we understand the basics of what we do today, and make sure that we jump a little bit further and that we use it also as a fail-safe. Okay. So if we talk about data, over time in the normal enterprise environment, we know that data has a tendency to grow over time, right? So if we take a look at the growth of data, potentially you get an exponentially growth over years. You could take into account 50 to 60% annually But only a part of that is really working set data. So most of the time it's just archive. And if something fails there, you want to make sure that you still have a good backup set there. So for that, also something like cloud storage is a good opportunity to back up your files there too as an archiving mechanism. So not only for your active data, but also for your archiving mechanism, cloud storage is a really good thing. Especially when we're talking about pricing and storage costs, you should realize that cloud storage is most of the time 4 to 10 times cheaper than traditional SAN storage costs. So there you have an additional gain when it comes down to cloud computing. So beginning of last year, we had about 8.5 trillion objects by at least 900,000 transactions per second. Well, that's no longer true. As you maybe have seen this morning in Scott Guthrie's talk, we actually have moved over to 30 trillion and maybe even a little bit above that one, storage objects. So that's a lot of blob storage and other storage objects being put into Azure. That really shows that there is a good sense of security towards Azure and that you can really use it for a lot of things storing in there. Although the number of storage transactions per second have multiplied by 4 at least, and we're now at 3.5 million transactions per second, which is really a lot. You can actually take a look at it if you take a broad look at it on the compute and storage space in Azure. You can see that it gradually tends to double in every 6 months. So that's really a lot of opportunity for enterprises to put their assets in there. Now, one of the bases in Azure is that everything what you put in storage is triplified. So if you get one copy of your storage object, it will be copied over to three other secondary copies. So that way you have a high availability of every blob and storage object. So it's highly durable and scalable. As you saw, going from 8.5 trillion to 30 trillion, it's an explosion, right? So Azure can really follow up on that one. And you really can enjoy a lot of safety on that one. So multiple copies of your data gives you a more secure way of interacting with your data. At least it gives you a hot standby of every piece of storage that you have and every piece of asset that you have in Azure. Of course, there's financially backed SLAs. They have a high availability SLA on storage, since it's the basis for almost every other single service in Azure itself. Yeah. The storage for objects, you get table storage, you get drives, you get the new file system, which is an SMB-based storage facility, which you can also use. You have support by REST APIs, there's support for it by PowerShell, and so on and so on. So if you cannot find your own interaction way on storage, you can easily use any of the tools that you want to do. There's a lot of third-party tools just to manage your storage also. There's a lot of freedom there, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. So three copies of everything, making a resilient and high available thing. It's not only in the own data center, but also between regions. So there's also a fail-safe for regional disasters. There's actually a little bit more than just real geo-replication. You actually have now 4 choices of how you want to make redundant your storage accounts. You get your locally redundant storage account, you get your geo-redundant, which replicates between the regions, so it stays within the bound regions. For instance, if you had Northern Europe and you make your you make that storage account geo-redundant, it will be only replicated to the Western Europe storage account side. You also have read access secondaries, so read access geo-redundancy, also 3 local replicas on there, and they are immediately accessible read-only, so that way you can at least have direct access to your storage in case of a disaster. Right. Always, there also always support like 99.9% of the SLA. So there's 99.9% on the service level agreement there. And they all support page blobs, table, and queues, and of course a new file system, which is only available for newly created storage accounts and not for the previous, before the file system was announced. Right. So the cool thing about local storage, because there's a lot of different pieces in the storage thing, local storage can be allocated on instances. So you can just have worker roles and web roles, and they can immediately interact with local storage, and then they can switch a little bit on and share a little bit on the data there. And mostly it's used for caching or for other mechanisms. So since PaaS is mostly stateless, so local should be only used for caching. If you get your persistent storage, you get blobs. Yeah, which can be basically anything up to files, but also every VHD that you create, every virtual machine that you create in Windows Azure is also stored immediately in blob storage. Yeah, and then can be, if you create an additional disk on virtual machines, they will also be stored in a blob and they can be attached to instances. Of course, you get table storage, which is a very cheap way of storing small and large numbers of data for really quick access. Disadvantage here that it's really not relational, but if you don't need that, then it's a great and speedy way to achieve some nice interaction with, like for instance, websites or something for storing really quick values, for instance, because it's based on a key value pair. The indexing is really fast and you can really query it immediately. Disadvantage here is that you have to write your own relationships and you have to work a little bit on that. Queues is really another storage thing that you can have, basically a basic queuing system for just passing along quick messages if you don't want to go over service bus. And then the new files facility that Azure has. So it's an SMB share. It allows you to create file shares in the background on virtual machines which are running on Windows Azure. So it's not directly accessible from outside of Azure, but you can, for that matter, easily share information between virtual machines and create a storage pool in that kind of a matter. Then also another part on storage is Azure SQL databases. It's not your classical SQL Server database. It's based upon double address streams, but they're very, very fast. You have the relationships in there. And there's also a lot of mechanisms in Azure to backup and restore those databases for you. And finally, a new thing has arrived, DocumentDB, which is also now a part of the storage system, which you can also use for your convenience. Right. So the cool thing is that storage can be, besides for files, can be accessed from anywhere. You can create storage access signatures on those, and you can share these URIs immediately with somebody else. They use HTTP methods like post, get, put, and delete on their. They can be signed with a storage key. Never give out your storage key for that, for any other matter, since that is the basic security key on your environment, right? But they are all accessible through URLs, and depending on what kind of storage facility it is, you either use them with blob, table, or queue, and that way you access the URI. So let's maybe dive into the storage, and let's take a look how we can create some of the storage facilities nowadays. In the old portal, we had just go to the new one, data services, do a quick create storage facility, and you could just type in the URI for this matter. I would say demo azureconf like that, and I would create myself a new DNS name specifically for the for that storage account. I can then even show it or create it in an affinity group if I would want to, or put it in a location of my choice. Let's go for Western Europe, and then I can choose how I want my data to be replicated, whether it's locally redundant, where it's zone redundant, so it will be moved to new parts in the zone where you selected it, and that way you get a more better way of replicating all your data. I'm just going to go with geo-redundant for this one and create myself the storage account, so that way I can use it immediately afterwards. Well, there's other ways on creating those. Apparently, I got a failure here. Oh yeah, I already have enough storage accounts there, but I can, oops, my bad. I can just create one in another account, so that way, but at least you get the idea how to create one in the older portal. In the new portal, it's a similar way of creating one. You just go to the new button on the ground, just go to everything. If it doesn't show up immediately in the new list, it's totally on the bottom, but if you want to make sure that you find it a little bit more quicker, just go to everything and it will show immediately under the tab data storage and cache and backup. Click the storage, you get the selection here, you get to see some explication here. And then you just go, you enter a storage account, you enter the pricing tier, and there you have a little bit more better overview on what the pricing will be for each and every other type of replicated system. So seeing the better the replication is, the more it will cost, but it's totally worth the extra buck. Okay, so and they will charge you for per 100 gigabytes. So if you take then a look at resource groups, you can, as Michael Collier always already mentioned, there's resource groups. You can also attribute them to resource groups. You can play around with those and attach them to any other kind of system in your availability. Choose the subscription where you want to apply to it, the location, and then eventually some diagnostics if you want to monitor your storage account a little bit better. Right, and then you just click create and it will start creating one for you too. If you're more into the automation part, you can easily just create them through PowerShell, which is my favorite. You first go to the subscription that you want to manage. You do that by selecting the correct subscription. In this case, I selected my MVP subscription. I go and create myself a new storage account name. I put the location in there. Create a storage account name, create a label for it, just and run the new command, run the new Azure storage account commandlet, so that way it will automatically be created on that account, and just run this little piece of script and you will be good to go. Yeah. And once they are created, you will immediately see, like for instance this one, where is it? I'm looking for an example here. It's this one that I should be looking at. If I take a look at my storage accounts here, you will see that there's a difference between an older one. This one also already has a false preview one. So as you can see, you see all the services that are available, and you access them by giving the storage account name and then the eventual either blob, table, queue, or file system on which type of storage that you want to use. All right, so a little bit enough about storage for that part. But of course, if everything fails, you need to make sure that you can back up. And this is actually where we were aiming at for the talk itself. So first of all, the on-premise environments, the things that we backup the most is files, of course. If you're using Hyper-V or any other hypervisor, you're doing bare metal backups, there's a fail-safe system for that also, which is called Site Recovery, which I'm not covering really, because that's more in a recovery method for a system center and doing a live kind of migration thing. So that's not really covered in this one. But you also have files, and you get SQL Server. And SQL Server is one of the tools where you have the benefit of immediately interacting with Azure. Since SQL Server 2012, CU2, so cumulative update 2, there's the possibility to backup immediately to an Azure URI. So what you do is you create a storage account and you pinpoint the backup immediately to the URI that you create with a container in there. So the cool thing is that it's you immediately have all the tools that you have, because SQL Server has a lot of capabilities for backing up your own databases. So you don't need to learn any new tooling. The only thing that you need to change is your location where you want to offload it. There's an additional thing in SQL Server 2014, which integrated it even better. It's where you have also immediately a better UI for that. And you can easily offload immediately your SQL Server to a SQL Server running in Azure itself. So that can also be looked at as a disaster recovery mechanism. Yeah. So you can easily restore and pick up your data from there. So direct URL backup to Azure Storage, which is a very nice thing to have. Now, it's not only about that. You also have files that you want to back up. And for that, we have Azure Backup. Azure Backup is not a relative new service. It exists now a little bit more than a year. But the cool thing is it integrates with your backup strategy if you're using System Center Disaster Protection Manager, Data Protection Manager, or just Windows Server Backup. So for that way, you can just use the agent from Azure Backup integrated in your disaster recovery plans with Windows Server Backup or Data Protection Manager, and just make sure that everything runs smooth in that kind of a way. So it's really for reliable offsite data protection. It's simple. It's just the way you know it already, so you don't need to learn any new tools. Now, the cool thing is that they recently changed it in a simpler way. So now you don't have to create your own certificates anymore. Just download the credentials that they provide on the portal itself, and that way you can immediately use it. I'll show you some demos in a couple of seconds. There's an additional thing that you can have in Azure, which is also a pretty recent new thing, is that Microsoft bought a company called StorSimple a little bit over a year ago, which are hardware appliances for data storage. And they have these three-tier storage appliances available. And the cool thing is that these offload immediately tier 3 data to Azure. So that for that way, you can easily just put your backups on the tier 3 and it will be immediately replicated to Azure. Now, since the beginning of this summer, they also announced the StorSimple virtual appliances, which can allow to manage your appliances from within Azure also. So that way you can kind of replicate them through that, and you can take advantage of Azure a little bit better in that way. Now, when we talk about backup to Azure, you get like Windows Server, SQL Server, SharePoint, all these servers you want to make sure that you back up. System Center Data Protection Manager is there to synchronize and to make sure that it's all orchestrated the way it should be. You can schedule it to up to 15 minutes for every kind of backup scenario. And then through Operations Manager, you can monitor all the things and then just offload it to Azure Backup just by using the Data Protection Manager plugin for Azure Backup. So that way it gets integrated very nicely with the entire stack. So let's take a look at the SQL Server scenario, which I was talking to you about. So I got my SQL Server here running, and I got a database here which is called AdventureWorks, a fairly well-known database. If you don't know it, take a look at it at Coblix. It's a good example database for every single SQL Server environment. And from there, you can just easily go to Tasks and Backup. RealDB should do this by script, of course, but this is just to make it a little bit more visually appealing and make sure that you understand the full concept completely. So what we could do now, in the past we only had to disk or to tape, or we could just easily say I'm gonna back up my database, do a full backup, you can even do a differential if you want to, copy only backup, just the way you know your SQL Server backups. And now we can just easily pinpoint to a URI, which is actually a SQL Server, which is actually an Azure storage account that you're going to pinpoint to. And I already took the liberty to download my publishing thing files, import them, and create a new credential for SQL Server in my Azure account. Now I can show you how to do it. It will first validate my Azure subscription, but I can just easily create a new one. Give it a second. It will retrieve my storage accounts based upon. So here you can just create a new SQL credential for that. So that will be used as your authority to back up your database towards that account. And then you can download the management certificate, or you can use a publishing settings file, and that way the credential will be immediately authorized to use the storage account to back up to. You select the subscription you want to use, and basically you go from there. Yeah. So once you have that in place, the only thing that you need to do is create an Azure storage container. The URL prefix will be made up like that. It will be selected for you immediately. And if I then press OK, it will start backing up my database. As you can see, it's executing on 10%, 20%. It's not a large database. And I'm going to check out now my storage account. It's the Azure Conf one. And as you can see, if I go to the container environment, you can see that there's a folder, a container in there. And as you can see, it's now 8:17 p.m. So this is the backup that I was talking about. So my backup was created successfully, luckily for me. And then I can immediately monitor what has been backed up in my Storage Explorer, for that matter. So it's really nice and integrated, works fast, out of the box, even for larger databases. So just use it as you please, right? Now, of course, this is only available for 2012 CU2 and 2014. There's also a tool that Microsoft created, which is the SQL Server Database Backup Tool to Windows Azure, which is a free download, which you can use to install. What it does, it basically monitors the folder where you download, where you backup your databases to, so where your back files get created, and they will automatically be uploaded to a storage account in Azure. So that way you get less or more the same effect in the end, all right? So it's not as fully integrated, but it's an opportunity to use Azure as a backup mechanism also for all the database systems. So pre-2012, if you still have like 2005 servers running or 2000 servers, which you shouldn't be, but you know, you get the idea, all right? Now, talking about Azure backup, I also have a virtual machine available for this. So I have here already a virtual machine created. I'm gonna walk you through how this works. So basically what you need is a machine where you wanna run your backup on. So I already started with the installation. So I downloaded the file. I am gonna install the tool, the backup agent for Azure Backup. Just click Next. If you have a proxy for your internet connection, of course, your server must be able to connect to the internet or to System Center in that matter. I want to use, in this case, Microsoft Update. Of course, if you have your own WSUS in place or System Center Configuration Manager for managing your updates, you should, of course, not do Microsoft Update, but do the updates yourself. All right. Go with the installations based upon the .NET Framework 4.5, so that's and PowerShell. It also comes with a set of PowerShell commandlets, so MS Online Backup. So that way you can script easily, create scripts to manage your schedules and all those things. Go in install, give it a couple of seconds. As you can see, it created me a nice new icon on the desktop. Yeah. So it now will start validating the installation. And meanwhile, I'm going to show you something else while this is doing that. So what you also need to do is when you go to the portal of the Azure Backup part, so if you go here, you see that you have in recovery services, you can create a new backup vault if you don't have already one. So you just create a new backup vault and just do a quick create and give it a name and a location. Yeah. So it can be anywhere. Basically, you can have multiple, of course. Yeah. After you created it, you get the opportunity to download the vault credentials. So in the past, you need to create you need to have certificates, either self-signed or fully wildcard certificates that you would be able to use just to make sure that fully CA accredited credentials, so that way your communication would be safe, right? Because it goes over the security of your of backing up your files. And then you need to install the and download the backup agents. So that change, they made it a lot easier for you guys. So there's no reason anymore not to use it. Besides the fact that you also get 5 gigabytes for free every month. So that's also an opportunity to use the Azure Backup Vault, for that matter. So my installation has succeeded. I can proceed with the registration. So we'll now do the entire validation of my vault. So I just pinpointed to the vault credential files that I just downloaded. Just click next. Give it a passphrase. I can generate one if I want to, and I want to just save it on the safest place there is. Don't do this at home, kids. I'm a trained professional, but you know, if you're doing saving of your files, don't do them in your own backup folder or something. Just put them in a safe place or where everybody can access them who needs access to those. So put them in a safe vault somewhere, so that way you can share the information, and just put them in the documents folder. Well, it's finished, so that way the encryption key will be stored there, and I can retrieve it afterwards if I need it. So I'm going to register this server with Microsoft Azure Backup. And if all goes well, after a while, my service called m2files.cloudapp.net, you will actually see that that server has been registered in the backup vault. So that way now it's ready to be put in the rotation scheme of my backup that I'm going to define in a couple of seconds. So that way I know I'm a registered server and I need to monitor it from the Azure Backup Vault. I can close that. And then it's basically just a Windows Backup Server agent that you're running. So it's going to initialize everything, set everything up. And now I can start schedule a backup. So what I'm going to do here is just going to quickly create a new folder and copy an existing folder just to make sure. Just going to do it with the logs. I think there's a lot of logs files in here. Yep. So I'm going to copy that folder, paste it here. Voila. And I'm going to schedule a backup for that folder. So while I get through this one, I'm going to add the items. Go to my C drive. I'm going to select the why am I not seeing my folder in here? Local disk. Here it is. Yeah. So I'm going to select the entire folder. You can select easily what kind of items you want to back up. So there's no issue there. Just press next. Then you go through the retention in days. So you can have up to 3 scheduled times. You can have up to 3 schedules. You can either do it weekly, daily, or every 2 weeks, or how many times you want to. So basically, just pick up the rotation screen that you can that you want the rotation scheme that you have already in place, so that way it will be available as your normal rotation. So go with that and press finish. And to make sure that everything works accordingly, voila, I can have a backup now just to check it, and it will show me the already scheduled backup. I can just press backup now, and then at a certain point in time you will see in the protected items that there will be a new backup created in a momentarily on this line, if all goes well. It's taking a snapshot, it's preparing the storage. Give it another couple of seconds. And then, if all goes well, it will start showing up. Let me just press refresh here, and you will actually see a recovery point appearing. Just a few seconds. That's a bad thing about demos. Sometimes you just need to wait a little bit. So this should be done now by now. Estimating the style, still estimating. I was a little bit running in forehand. Right. Getting there. Getting there, getting there, getting there. Still not there. Right, just got to take my word for it. It's transferring the data. Right, verifying the backup. Oh, as well now. It should be there now. And here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That worked for the goo. Hope it works for me. Come on, should be finished by now. Data transfer complete, completed, and still not showing up. Just have to take my word for it. It will show up eventually. So, job complete, here we go. States in progress, backup is completed successfully, and now it should be really, really there in the portal itself. When the connection is a little bit slow on my VM, so, probably still not awake. Come on. And there you have it. Normally. Come on. And there you have it. So you see, you get the recovery point, the oldest recovery point, and so that way you get an idea when the latest, the backup was first initiated and when the newest recovery point was created. So you see immediately how many recovery points you also have, so that way you can take an overview on all the backups that you have. Right. But of course, files and VMs is not only the it's not the only thing. You also have some other things that you want to back up, of course. So how about Azure Files and VMs itself? Well, so I'm not talking about the files on the VMs. For that, we can have Azure Backup Vault easily, as you saw, for the record. But yes, files in Azure, if you have blob storage, they're multiplied the replicated 3 times, but you're not really in control. They will be put there eventually if a file fails, and it will be restored automatically. Cool thing is you can do inter-subscription copies. So if you have multiple storage accounts, you can easily just by PowerShell, and with the means of automation, you can easily just copy things between subscriptions. So that way you get a backup subscription, especially for your backup files. And that's really the way you should do it. So that way you get the eventual thing like doing a copy of an off-prem backup. Also for VMs you can do snapshotting, and for files you can do snapshotting. There's a lot of tooling on the market which allow you to do that in a visual way, creating snapshots. Also from within the PowerShell, there's a lot of ways on creating snapshots, right? If you want to do VM, full backup VMs, Scott Guthrie already showed you this morning that you can actually just do a full image capture, and you can actually use that as a little bit of a restoring point of your VM. How you do that? Let me just show you quickly how to do that. So if you go to your virtual machines, oh, I can just close this one. This one goes a little bit faster. If you go to your virtual machines, and you can easily just say capture. You want to give the image description. You want to give it a good description for your virtual machine. Note that the virtual machine will not be stopped, so it will be taken in that state, and it could be, we could have multiple uses for those. You can either use the virtual machine image as a new setup, or just to restore it and get all the data from it afterwards in the new recreation of the image. So that way you can easily just back up your virtual machines. Do note that the entire machine will be imaged, so also the attached disks will be imaged that way, so that way everything will be taken together. So that's the advantage there, right? Close this. If we're talking about really interconnection subscriptions, you can have different tools for those. If you want to do it the automated way, you should very well do it with PowerShell, which is the easiest way. Just do an AZ copy, or just do a synchronous blob copy by the commandlets. Or you can use tools like Cerebrata, Azure Management Studio, or even free tools like Azure Explorer, which is also one of those tools that you can use, which looks a little bit like a Storage Explorer on Windows, but only integrated with some tooling in there. Yeah, so you can easily just do view your blobs and create, copy them, download them, and just copy them to another storage account from here out, just back and forth, dragging and dropping, very easy. So there's events for those, there's toolings for those specifically. If you want to know more about tooling to manage those things, you can just go to the storage account itself, and there's a link on the storage account which opens up a list with all the different storage explorer tools that are available either for free or in a paying version. Okay, there's online and there's offline tools for those. Even Visual Studio has an integration for that, and so on and so on. So if you don't find your flavor in there, you can still revert to the old trustfully PowerShell commandlets and so on and so on. Right. I didn't only talk about blob storage, I also talked about table storage. Well, again, three copies, yeah. Same tools that apply there. So Cerebrata has tools for those. Netgate has tools for those, which can be scheduled over cloud services, so they can automatically sync between inter-subscription or to another table. There's also another tool that you can use just to download the entire table storage. And a tool that everybody has is actually Excel. In Excel 2013, if you have the some of the plugins that you can download is the Power Query in the Power Pivot downloads. And in the Power Query, you can actually just make a direct connection towards Azure Table Storage or Azure Blob Storage. So that way you can connect immediately towards them, and you can just fully download the table storage and even recreate it afterwards with different tooling. Right. So just use a, we go to Power Query from other data sources. Let's connect to a table storage. The only thing that you need to provide here is just give the account name. Let me just check for a good one. If I'm not mistaken, it should be this one. Yes, this should be a good one. Account. If I'm not mistaken, I just need to give him my key. I'm going to go with manage my key. Give me the primary access key. Give it in here. Save it. If all goes well, I get the navigator towards my, indeed to my table storage, and I can just connect to that, and I can immediately see the content of those, and I can edit, I can download it, I can play along with it, save it to an Excel file, export it that way. So that way, at least I get my values and can play along with those. So again, you can automate these things if you want to, either by doing it via SSIS or things like that. But there's facilities for that. So at least you get already tools that you know, but maybe you don't know that you have the facility to backup a table storage by that. So. Also SQL databases, there's also a lot of things that you can do automatically. There's auto exportations from SQL databases. So databases, you can have an auto export. You can have a point in time restore now, as Scott Guthrie already announced this morning. There's also a lot of third party tools that you can use, whether it's Redgate again, there's Blue Syntax for that. A lot of cool tools that you can use. Out of the box, you just have immediately, if you go to SQL Server, just go to the database itself, you can immediately see that you can do the exports here by means of manual action. Yeah, but you can also do, let me just kick that out. You can also go to the automatic export here. Just put it on automatically, create your storage account, create your frequency, set your attention, just a little bit like you have a normal rotation screen, and you can either then restore it from an export and create a new database, or just override it afterwards if you want to. You can restore it then on your own premises, play around, export the data, make sure that you get all the files and all the tables correctly, so that way you can go around with those again. So basically, you have all the tools already in there, but if you want to do it in a more automated way or a more monitored way, you also have third-party tools for those. Right. Anything I missed? Well, there's also an out-of-the-box feature for Azure websites, which is also pretty cool. If you take a look at websites, and we go, I don't want to save my changes. Like for instance, this one, you can immediately see that there's a backup scenario here. Do note that you need to be in a standard tire and not in a free tire or in a shared tire. So you need to be in a standard scaled server for that. So you need to have at least that feature enabled, elsewhere it will not work. And you can switch on just the automatic backup like that, or create your storage account and take a look at what you want to do. So let's take a look at this backup. I'm going to create one. You can see that it will be running. And I'm going to just quickly edit my website. Where is it? Why isn't it showing? All right. I'm just going to quickly edit my website. So I'm going to show you the normal website, what it looks like. So it's basically just an HTML page pointing out how an API works, which we wrote for Hackathon a couple of years ago. So I pinpointed to AzureConf 2014. What I'm going to do here is going to change the page. Now it's backing up. So if I take a look here to my backup, that should be finished. Yeah, the backup has successfully started. Well, it should be done already. I put it in my storage account, which is in here. As you can see, there's a container here, website backups, which creates you a zip file and an XML file with the configuration of your website. Yeah, I'm going to change the year in here. Maybe just made an error. I'm already looking forward to AzureConf 2015. As you can see, if I do a refresh here, it will immediately change because that's the power of Visual Studio Online. Yeah. Just made an error. I just want to make sure that I restore my website. So that way I can just immediately go here, backups, restore now. And I select the backup that I created just a couple of seconds ago, go there. Immediately, it will be restored, and in a couple of minutes, if you want some downtime, or you can do it on a new website or on the current website to make sure that you don't screw up there. I just do a completion; it will be restored. You will, if it's not scaled correctly or if it doesn't fan out correctly, you will see some downtime. It will take some time, but at least you get everything back in order as it was. And if all goes well, in a couple of seconds, I should be seeing. So it's almost there, successfully started, restore. And it's back already at 2014, so you see, that's how easy it goes, okay? If you don't want to lose or pay for a lot of third-party tools, you can easily do all the things that I showed you in the automation room books. So you just create a workflow, add them as a job in automation workflow, and create all these things through an automation runbook. So that way you can have a fully automated matter and a fully automated backup of everything, even if you just want some files copied over or something. Automation is the way to do it in a more scheduled way and a more pragmatic way. Taking a look again at the partners, so there's Blue Syntax, Cloud Porton, which is fairly new in its preview. Zudio is a very good storage manager. There's some other tools in there. Just really take a look at those. Those are really, really good. Well, and many more to come because there's a lot of partners working on tools. Don't forget, Azure is a good tooling, but sometimes you need to integrate with some other tools, and these partners really, really make worth everything. So storage and VMs I already showed you, Azure SQL Database I already showed you, websites I already showed you. So in conclusion, Azure basically has all the features and bits and the bytes to create databases to manage your assets in from either on-prem and back them up to the cloud, or either from backing up your Azure assets into the cloud itself and making sure that everything is being highly available and fail-safe to your environment. So that's a fairly good idea of doing those things. Tools of the trade, I got a full list here, so these slides will be made available afterwards on the Channel 9 video. So let's go over them again. You got Azure Backup Vault, which is one of the services available. If you want to do snapshotting, you can have a good explanation on MSDN how to do those. SQL Database Exports, a full guidelines on there. Of course, the PowerShell and the cross-platform tools, which is a good thing to start using, because DevOps, the DevOpsy way and the automation way is really there to help you out. Don't forget about SQL Server 2014. Which is also there to help you out of the box. And they have these tools available for you. Store Simple, if you're an enterprise customer and you want your appliances automatically moving data towards the cloud, you can have those available too. If you want to manage it centrally, System Center is really worth looking at, especially when you're doing Data Protection Manager or integrating the backup vault things. Redgate Cloud Services is also one of the tools that should be worth looking at. Cerebrata Management Studio, Clumsy Leaf is also one of those, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of things to do. There is only one thing that rests me to talk to you about is if you don't have already an Azure subscription, just feel free to write yourself down for a free trial. Just go to aka.ms/AzureConf2014. Or, of course, if you're an MSDN user, you should take care and use the MSDN member offers and also some other offers that you can have through other means. Like if you're a partner, you also have some rights and so on and so on. If you want to know more about those, just go to aka.ms/AzureConf-member offers and you will get the full extensive list for your disposal. So that way you can start looking at all the things that you might have missed out and start using this wonderful platform, because that really is, it has everything on board to make your environment safe, your enterprise a little bit more safe, and your assets even more safer. And that's what the endpoint is all about. So if there aren't any more questions, let me just take a look. So there's a question there from Ben. Have you used Azure Backup as a replacement for full enterprise backup functionality? Most of the time, depending on what you want to do, if you want to backup full VMs, Azure Backup is not the way to do it. But if you're doing just file backups and want to implement it in a rotation, then Azure Backup Vault is really a good starting point. Especially if you integrate it with DPM, right? So I hope that's an answer to your question. I wonder if there's any more other questions. I don't see any popping up for the moment. No. So if there's no more questions from you guys online, I hope you enjoyed my talk. I hope you aren't sleepy if you're over in Belgium and you can stay awake for all the other talks. So please feel free to stay online, grab another beer, watch the rest of the sessions that are coming up, and I can promise you they are very good, the sessions that are coming up. And I hope to see you maybe next year, and I hope you enjoyed the entire session that I delivered. Well, thank you again for having me over, and good night.